It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is mostly cloudy and 48 degrees. At the airport, they are showing northeast winds to 8 miles per hour, and they have 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for a 20% chance of rain for the rest of the day, with mostly cloudy skies and a steady temperature around 45, currently 48. Northeast winds to 5. Mostly cloudy tonight, low of 42, calm winds, and mostly sunny tomorrow, the high near 54, west winds to 5, partly sunny for Friday and Saturday. Coming up on the Midday Report, Alaska's Congresswoman visited to Kodiak and talked to KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth. The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly has approved a small funding increase for the school district. And Governor Dunleavy's new pro-family policy advisor has resigned.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. After weeks of negotiations between the White House and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, the U.S. House is set to vote tonight on a deal to raise the debt ceiling. Here's NPR's Vincent Aquavino.
Both Democratic and Republican leaders are expressing optimism that the debt ceiling deal will get enough votes to pass through the House. That's despite some far-right Freedom Caucus members who have vowed not to vote for the bill, and left-leaning Democrats who are still balking at some of the provisions. President Biden was preparing to depart Washington in advance of a commencement address at the U.S. Air Force Academy, and he said he's hoping for good news when he gets there.
God willing, by the time I land, the Congress will have acted, the House will have acted, and we'll be one step closer.
If the deal is passed through the House, the Senate will still need to hold a vote ahead of the projected June 5th default deadline. Vincent Aquavino, NPR News.
The Republican contest for president in 2024 is getting bigger. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie reportedly plans to announce his campaign in a few days in the early nominating state of New Hampshire. The State Department says China's flyby of a U.S. plane was dangerous. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said this morning this was not the first time Chinese forces got a little too close for comfort.
Our planes were flying in international airspace on a routine mission. Chinese pilot took dangerous action in approaching the plane very, very closely. There have been a series of these actions directed not just at us, but at other countries in recent months.
Blinken also addressed recent missed meetings between representatives of the United States and China. He says while competition between the two nations is significant, Washington does not want that to veer into conflict. And he says that requires regular lines of communication. A federal team investigating the collapse of a condominium tower in Florida says it's moved into the next phase of its work. NPR's Greg Allen reports 98 people died nearly 2 years ago when part of the building unexpectedly collapsed.
A team from the National Institute of Standards and Technology began its investigation days after the collapse of the tower in Surfside. The team of scientists and engineers is trying to understand why a portion of the 12-story building suddenly fell and to recommend changes to avoid similar disasters. Investigators from NIST have moved huge chunks of steel-reinforced concrete to a warehouse. There, teams using heavy equipment can begin removing and testing concrete cores and samples of the rebar. Reporting by the Miami Herald and other news organizations has focused attention on possible construction defects, which may have contributed to degradation of the building's concrete and its reinforcing steel. NIST says the investigation won't be complete until next year. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
The Dow is down 131 points before the close. This is NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. The U.S. House of Representatives will vote today on an agreement to raise the nation's debt ceiling and avoid a government default. Alaska's Congresswoman supports the deal. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports.
Representative Mary Peltola doesn't like all of the provisions, but says the deal is much better than a government shutdown. She says she's wary of new work requirements for government assistance, like federal nutrition programs.
It would not be my preference to be cutting programs to the poorest of the poor, and actually nutrition programs, taking food literally out of people's mouth.
She spoke Saturday in Kodiak, where she was attending the island's Crab Festival. Peltola had left town by the time news broke Sunday night of a deal between the Biden administration and Speaker McCarthy. The deal puts stricter work requirements on adults under 55 without dependents for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP or food stamps. But it also expands SNAP benefits for other groups, including homeless individuals and veterans. Peltola says there's already an exhaustive process for vetting SNAP recipients, and work requirements are hard to apply in the state, particularly in rural areas.
That's much more complicated in Alaska when you're talking about very small communities that may not have many jobs.
For Alaska, some of the most consequential parts of the budget agreement are in a 25-page section called Permitting Reform. The changes to the National Environmental Policy Act are aimed at speeding permits for everything from highways to oil drilling. Democrats on the House Natural Resources Committee have issued detailed statements denouncing the changes, saying they would gut environmental protection and benefit big oil. But Peltola says a faster permitting process wouldn't just benefit the fossil fuel industry.
It's just as cumbersome to permit a renewable energy project as it is a petroleum project, and we cannot afford to wait 5 years or 10 years to transition.
Peltola's office says she likes the permitting reform section and considers it a good first step. The Congresswoman was not part of the negotiations. She said she kept up with developments over the weekend through a text chain with other House Democrats. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobroth with help from Liz Ruskin in Anchorage.
The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly approved a small funding increase for the school district at its meeting last week. This comes after the state legislature elected not to increase long-term education funding in favor of a one-time boost for schools instead. The Kodiak Island Borough School District originally asked for $500,000 more than the borough set aside for education funding. The assembly agreed to meet in the middle and increased funding by $250,000. During the meeting, some assembly members shared concerns about having to use the borough's fund balance or savings to meet the district's request. Others said that the school district is already planning to use some of its own fund balance, and the borough should share the financial burden. The vote was 5 members in favor of the increase and 1 against. Governor Mike Dunleavy's new pro-family policy advisor resigned on Tuesday, as Alaska Public Media and APM reports were preparing to publish an investigation exposing his extreme and disturbing views. On his podcast, Jeremy Kubis defends Hitler, uses racist slurs, and says a man raping a wife is a, quote, impossible act. Nat Herz reports.
Governor Mike Dunleavy is a conservative Republican, but he stayed away from divisive social issues during his first term in office. That's changed since his re-election in November, and in his State of the State address this year, he put a new focus on issues important to the religious right.
It's no secret to anyone that I'm a pro-life governor, and my administration is ready to work with all of you over the next 4 years to achieve the goal to make Alaska the most pro-life state in the country.
As part of that push, Dunleavy created a new post in his administration, pro-family policy analyst. The job has a 6-figure salary, and the governor promoted a little-known aide named Jeremy Kubis to fill it. Kubis had worked for about a year as a digital media specialist for the governor before that. He took photos and videos at Dunleavy's public events, but when he wasn't at work, Kubis co-hosted a podcast.
Welcome to Contra Gentiles, Season 4, Episode 9.
Contra Gentiles is Latin for against the non-believers. On the podcast, Kubis and his friends talk for hours about philosophy and Catholicism, but they also delve into more controversial topics. And that's when Kubis has aired some of his extreme views.
I would say an act like divorce is worse than rape. And rape, in the end, is pretty low in the totem pole of grave immoral actions. Because in the end, I mean, if you produce a child through rape, I mean, you've ontologically fulfilled the act to a pretty good capacity.
Kubis goes on to explain that rape could be sinful, but not because of the lack of consent. He says it's sinful if it involves sex outside of marriage. Kubis comes to an even more provocative conclusion in an episode released just 1 month before Governor Dunleavy promoted Kubis from media specialist to policy advisor. These comments from Kubis come after Dunleavy for years has campaigned against domestic violence and sexual assault.
I don't think it's possible to rape your wife.
Yeah.
I think that that's an impossible act. When you sign the contract, you have already consented.
Yeah.
And so you're consented until the end of time, or until you're dead.
Kubis has an academic background in philosophy. He attends the same church as the governor, and the two graduated from the same Catholic university in Pennsylvania. He ran an Anchorage photography business before working in the governor's office, and also taught philosophy courses at the University of Alaska Anchorage's Mat-Su campus. Kubis has been making Contra Gentiles since 2020. We interviewed him Tuesday, and he defended the podcast, but he didn't want to be recorded for broadcast. He said, quote, I can't be anything else besides me. It's just the way that I speak. With help from our partners at APM Reports, Alaska Public Media ran more than 100 episodes of the show through transcription software. That allowed us to search for keywords. And we found that Kubis and his co-host Grant Cook have also spoken at length about Adolf Hitler. Kubis speaks first.
He wasn't just a lunatic who wanted to kill Jews. I think he was somebody who recognized the virtues of living homogeneously, rather than living in this global world in which everybody just goes wherever they want to go, which I think creates more crime, more destruction, and more unhappiness with people.
It's like, but of course, that is not to say that enslaving swaths of people and summarily executing the leftovers as an ontological good.
Of course not. Yes. Yeah.
It's not to insinuate that what happened in Germany was a good thing.
Yeah. But I think some of the principles are worth talking about.
On the show, Kubis describes himself as a, quote, race essentialist. He says different races have different, quote, propensities. And we found three episodes where Kubis uses the N-word to refer to black people.
I say it on a daily basis.
Can you say it on a daily basis?
I believe in saying.
Yeah, because I do it too. Ever since I was a child, honestly.
Oh, yikes. Because your parents were from Peru.
Yeah, I'm married from Peru. I'm a quarter black. It doesn't bother me. You know?
They're not going to get you.
The more they tell me not to say it, it's like the more I want to say it.
So, Jack, to give you context.
Kubis says his maternal grandmother was black, but in spite of that, he has used ugly racial stereotypes in talking about black people and members of other minority groups. We played some podcast clips for State Senator Jesse Kiel, who is Jewish. He says it's, quote, horrifying that someone with Kubis' views would be advising Governor Dunleavy on policy.
I can't believe he would keep a person who believes that, who says that stuff. And I'm not talking 30 years ago. I'm talking recently on the state of Alaska's payroll. It wouldn't be acceptable. For as many things as Mike Dunleavy is wrong about, I have to believe that if he hears the things you just played me, he will make the right decision.
Kiel is a Democrat, but he was so alarmed when he heard the excerpts from the podcast Monday, he immediately called the Republican governor to alert him. On Tuesday, Dunleavy's office said that Kubis had resigned, effective immediately. A spokesman released a prepared statement saying the governor, quote, sincerely believes that the differences between people are what makes all of us stronger, end quote, and added that derogatory statements do not reflect the governor's values and will not be tolerated. The governor's office did not say if Dunleavy was aware of any of Kubis's views before he was hired. Kubis says he provided information on his social media accounts before he was hired, and he assumes the governor's office would have checked that information out before it hired him. Kubis declined to comment after his resignation. In Anchorage, for Alaska Public Media, with help from APM Reports, I'm Nat Herz.
One person is dead and another four are missing and presumed lost after their charter fishing vessel sank in rough seas near Sitka on Sunday. An extensive air and sea search turned up no sign of the missing individuals. The Coast Guard suspended operations on Monday evening. KCAW's Catherine Rose has this report.
On the evening of May 28th, Kingfisher Charters notified the Coast Guard that one of its boats was overdue with five people on board. The boat had last been seen near Cape Edgecombe. Coast Guard Public Affairs Officer Ian Gray says an air crew found it on Sunday evening, partially submerged near Low Island, about 10 miles southwest of Sitka.
We discovered a half-submerged vessel at around 6:03 p.m. Sunday night, conducted search efforts to find the five individuals that were missing. We located one in the water, an older adult male who was not wearing a personal flotation device, and he was deceased.
The Coast Guard continued their search throughout the next day for the remaining four people who were missing from the boat. With a helicopter crew, a plane from Kodiak, the fast response cutter Douglas Denman, the Sitka Fire Department's emergency response vessel, and several Good Samaritan vessels on the scene. Over 20 hours, they scoured a wide area, over 820 square miles. Gray says the search was called off around 9:30 on Monday evening.
It's an unfortunate outcome as of right now. You know, to suspend a case is always a hard decision to make, you know, at the very top with Admiral Moore. But after searching over 20 hours, you know, those decisions were made ultimately. And it's our hearts to go out to the families of the victims and the missing.
Names of the victims have not been released to the public. An investigation into the accident is ongoing, but Gray says so far it doesn't look like the vessel ran aground.
The initial divers that dove on the boat to examine the vessel didn't indicate that the vessel struck anything. There wasn't a big hole in the hull of the vessel that indicated that they struck anything to make it sink.
After the search was called off, local marine salvage company Hansen Maritime took over salvage efforts and was working to remove the boat from the water on Tuesday afternoon. The loss of five people aboard the charter vessel is the worst maritime tragedy in the area since a chartered float plane went down en route from Sitka to Warm Springs Bay in September 2004. No sign of the plane, its pilot, or its four passengers has ever been found. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
The rates of deaths due to drinking alcohol nearly doubled over a two-year period in Alaska. That's based on data from the Alaska Department of Health. Those years, from 2019 to 2021, included the first year of COVID. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has more.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Alaska has one of the highest rates of binge drinking in the country. Sarah Platt has a background in marriage and family therapy. She works for Recover Alaska, an organization trying to reduce excessive drinking and its harms. She isn't surprised by the increase in drinking deaths.
Thinking of the pandemic, I think that is a big piece, is that people didn't have as many opportunities to connect, were more isolated.
Platt says that the opposite of addiction is connection. She says an environment with lots of activity choices and ways to connect with people without alcohol can play a role in lower rates of substance use. In Iceland, programs to reduce drinking focused on community interventions, like creating work and sports programs and encouraging parental involvement.
You know, binge drinking is not a person problem, it's a community problem.
She says she's hopeful that as the world opens up socially, rates of deaths from drinking will subside. And if people in a community are concerned about how much others are drinking, she says there's lots they can do.
What low barrier wellness activities could I offer community members? What can I talk to about my local representative around policy? What can I do at my workplace to make it so it's not so stigmatizing to reach out and get care?
Rosa Avila is a public health scientist for Alaska's health department. She says the pandemic influenced social changes that may relate to excessive alcohol use.
You know, if people are experiencing a lot of stress from loss of job and having your kids at home all the time, that there might be other changes like in alcohol use. But it's hard to tease out with the numbers how much of that is due to the pandemic or other factors.
Those deaths include people who die from alcohol poisoning. And it includes people who die from alcohol-related causes like liver disease. Avila says that in the fall, health data will be available from 2022. That will help the state health department understand more about rates of Alaskans dying from alcohol.
We'll see this next with 2022 data and 2023 data, whether those rates, those trends are being sustained or if they're going to taper down. So I think a lot of it remains to be seen.
But it will take longer to see data from 2023, when many COVID restrictions were fully lifted. That will be when public health scientists get a fuller picture of drinking deaths over the years most affected by the COVID pandemic. Platt with Recover Alaska says that people drinking in excess are often using alcohol as a coping mechanism, and they can feel defensive if others are asking them to give that up. So she suggests that concerned friends and family talk instead about how alcohol use is interfering with connection.
I want to be able to connect with you more, and this is getting in the way of us connecting. And I'm wondering if maybe you want to call somebody together or reach out and kind of see if there's any other options.
Family and friends can play an important role in encouraging people to think about how much they're drinking. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
The company whose founders have roots in Nome is set to showcase Alaska Native-inspired dishes at the 2023 Alaska State Fair in Palmer. Buffy Meyer and sister Esther Hirschman have been running Fish on Camp Grill since 2014. They continue to serve food at the fair.
It's now a go-to destination at the fair for people to enjoy their seafood and our different items that we created.
Meyer says during the state fair, they will serve Eskimo pies and Eskimo ice cream, as well as fry bread with soft-served ice cream topped with a choice of Alaska handcrafted syrups.
We created Eskimo ice cream, but not the traditional way with seal oil. We added, instead of seal oil, we did coconut oil, because we can't sell seal oil legally. So we did a coconut oil mixture with basically how we would do the traditional way, but with coconut oil, and people loved it.
Her Wasilla company has been featured on the Food Network.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
How much could the debt ceiling deal save? I'm Nova Safa with the Marketplace Minute. The Congressional Budget Office says the agreement could reduce budget deficits by nearly $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years. However, the deal to increase the nation's borrowing capacity and limit spending is binding for only 2 years. The job market at the end of April remained robust, according to government figures released today. Job openings increased to just over 10 million, reversing steady decline since December. That could encourage the Federal Reserve to raise rates again next month. Jaguar is recalling its I-Pace all-electric SUVs due to the risk of battery fires. A growing list of automakers has issued similar recalls, including GM and Stellantis. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by Raymond James, Wealth Management Banking and Capital Markets. Disclosures at RaymondJames.com.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 31st and last day of May, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 5:19. It will set again at 10:56. That will give us 17 hours and 37 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 2 minutes and 50 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 72 degrees set in 1993. Our record low is 33 set in 1931. Currently 48 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. It's been a pretty pleasant day. Northeast winds at 8 and 10 miles of visibility out at the airport right now. And they're calling for a 20% chance of rain this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies. Northeast winds to 5. Mostly cloudy tonight, too, with a low of 42 and calm winds turning to the southwest. And mostly sunny tomorrow with a high near 54. West winds to 5, becoming completely calm in the morning. Sounds like a really nice day tomorrow. We are at the high tide. That just happened 3 minutes ago here on the east side and was 5.9 feet. That outgoing tide will result in a low tide at 5:47 p.m. here on the east side, and that will be 1.9 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen in just a few more minutes at 12:53 p.m. That will be 10 2/3 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 6:39 p.m. of 3 feet. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side out to 15 nautical miles offshore. Northeast 20 today, seas to 4 feet. Variable 10 tonight, seas to 3 feet. And variable 10 tomorrow, seas to 3 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, northeast 20 becoming variable 10 this afternoon. 5-foot seas are expected to come all the way down to 2 feet this afternoon. For tonight, southwest 15, seas to 3 feet. And for tomorrow on our west side, west winds to 15 knots and seas to 2 feet. The following are upcoming Kodiak Island Borough public meetings. On Thursday, June 1st, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. On Tuesday, June 6th, the Women's Bay Service Area Board will be having its regular meeting in the Women's Bay Fire Hall at 5:30 p.m. And on Thursday, June 8th, the Assembly will be having a special meeting followed by a work session in the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. These meetings are open to the public and meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk with any questions at 907-486-9310. The Kodiak Public Library Association would like to thank their members, the library staff, many volunteers, Threshold Recycling, and everyone who bought books at their annual Crabfest book sale. It was one of their most successful sales ever. Thank you, everybody. And the Kodiak Public Library Association's Board of Directors will be meeting next Tuesday, June 6th, in the Public Library's multipurpose room at 5:30. The public is welcome to attend, and the agenda will be posted on their website, which is at kpla.us. The recent book sale is among the topics to be discussed. Attention, Kodiak High School class of 1973. They'd like you to join them for a reunion dinner. That's happening September 2nd. For more information, visit their website at myevent.com/Kodiak73, or you can call them on the phone. Call Janelle at 425-879-7067 or Terry at 907-654-7713. Help spread the word. And they'll see you in September. Our voices have power. We use our voices to share stories, express ourselves, and spark change. This summer, Find Your Voice is the theme at the Kodiak Public Library's Summer Reading Challenge. Sign up now. It runs through from June 1st to September 1st. You log the minutes you read, write book reviews, and participate in activities to complete the challenge. Today at 3:30 p.m., the library will be offering their Lego Club. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. is the library's next chess club meeting. Stop in to learn, practice, or sharpen your chess skills in a cozy, friendly environment. No experience is necessary, and it's open to all ages. That's tomorrow at 3 p.m. And tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., the library is hosting its Lapsit Story Time. That's for babies 0 to 3 and their adults. Join Abby Hanna to share a story and a song with some quality time to play and socialize. And don't forget, Saturdays are now the time for library hive checks. That's happening at 10:15 in the morning on Saturdays. Children under 5 must wash from inside, and kids under 13 must be supervised by a parent or guardian. Please don't sign up till Friday if you've already attended a live check to get newbies a chance to sign up. Call the library for questions about this or any other thing at 486-8686. They're just beginning to put out salmon weir counts at the Karluk River for yesterday, I believe. They got 213 fish. That compares to 293 fish in last year and 53,941 fish in 2017.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.